Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 5 of Tatooine Sons. This week, we'll be looking more closely at Rey's story in The Last Jedi. Plus, we will be discussing the similarities between the original trilogy and sequel trilogy. And it's about time we address the crazy fan reaction to the latest Star Wars movie. You'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. It is time for Tatooine Sons.
The Force is strong in my family.
I am your father.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars, from the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
A tribute to Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, I'm really sorry for you.
Yeah.
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
Live video, a little burp there.
I'm still tired.
A little burp on the intro there, Nate.
Burps and
coughs and sneezes. Well, it's just because for the last week, the two of you have been sick with a cold. No. And I've got shingles. It's wonderful. I'm biblically unclean. Like I'm like a biblical leper right now. If I went into public, I'd have to yell unclean, unclean. But anyway,
well, you've been in public and you haven't done that.
No, it's not. It's not slack. Really. It's just sort of the way it is. Let's not talk about my strange skin condition at this point. Let's talk about Star Wars. So we've seen it how many times now, guys?
Five times. Are we going to see it again today?
I don't know. It depends on whether or not Mom wants to go to a movie, I think. So, yeah, we might. So, I forgot what we were going to open with on the band. Oh, we had Christmas. We had Christmas since the last episode. So what did Santa? Did Santa bring any cool Star Wars stuff to you guys? We'll start with you, Nate. Hold on.
It was long.
Gosh, stop, man. This porg is like obnoxious here. All right, Nate, what did you get for Christmas on Star Wars stuff?
Everything but like three things was Star Wars, I think.
Yeah. So tell us some of the things you got, quick.
I got a porg.
He got a porg. He's been really wanting a porg.
Yeah.
So
I got a porg. I got a special order, first order TIE fighter Lego.
Haven't put it together yet?
No.
He hasn't put together any of his Legos.
What else? You got another Lego, right?
I got two other ones.
Two other Legos. What were they?
The Resistance Jumper Pod.
No, just the Resistance Transport.
Yeah, the Resistance Transport.
So what is that in the movie?
That was the thing that Rose and Finn took to Canto Bight.
Awesome. That they parked on the beach and got in trouble because it was illegally parked.
And then it got blown up.
That's kind of a weird... It did get blown up, but that was kind of a weird sequence when there's this whole discussion about illegal parking on a beach in Canto Bight. But anyway. Anyway, and then what else? What was the other thing?
A quad jumper.
A quad jumper from Force Awakens.
The thing that Finn and Rey were going to take instead of the Millennium Falcon. But it blew up.
It blew it up.
Just like the Resistance pod.
Yeah, okay.
I'm seeing parallels.
On the desert.
So what about you, Samuel the Hutt? What did you get for Christmas Star Wars related?
Well, I got a Lego AT-ST. Yeah, I'm 16 and still playing with Legos.
Oh, gosh. There's 50-year-olds that are playing with Legos.
Then I got a big Lego BB-8. It's like you built the BB-8.
That's pretty awesome. Honestly, we've got it right here. So if you're watching us on Facebook Live, you're going to get... Sam is totally panicked right now that I'm about to drop it. But on Facebook Live, there you go. We're showing it to you. So anyway, describe it. So you got to describe it for the people listening right now. So
basically, it's about what would you say, 6 inches in diameter?
6 to 8 inches tall. Yeah. It's 6 inches in diameter, yeah.
Its head moves, like I'm able to move the head or whatever. And it's got, for people on Facebook, I'll explain it for you guys too. But it's got the little lighter. Has
like the thumbs up lighter.
Thumbs up lighter.
That Nathan made famous at the 40 years of 3PO.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll
set him down here. All right. Cool.
Kind of like
okay. And then I got a Lego Ewing.
A Lego Ewing. You haven't put that one together?
No.
That one's a pretty good one. I want to see that.
Slack.
Hey, you haven't put any of yours together. I think that's it, actually.
Did it bring you anything, Dad?
I got something really awesome. So, I don't get a lot of Christmas gifts because I'm 42 years old and Christmas gifts are really more for my kids than they are for me. But my mom loves me. So, Mom, if you're listening to my podcast, if you're listening to this, which you should be, if you're not, I'm going to be really upset. But anyway, if you're listening to this, thank you, because my mom got me the Air Hogs Millennium Falcon XL. That's like 3 feet long.
No, it's like 27 inches.
27. Okay, so it feels like it's bigger than that, but
it's big though.
It's it doesn't run very long. It lasts about 5 minutes in the air, and if any kind of gust of the wind comes up, it like blows it like crazy because it's so big. But it doesn't matter because I get to be Han Solo for 5 minutes a day as I fly the Millennium Falcon around our neighborhood here. So I take it to the mailbox down the road and come back when I can. So I love my Millennium Falcon. So yeah, Santa was good to me too. Actually, Grammy or my mom was good to me. So anyway, so you guys ready to get this podcast started for the day?
Yeah.
All right, let's start with our poll. All right, so last week's poll was how many times are you planning to see The Last Jedi in the theater? Now, we just got done saying we've seen it 5 times.
Yes.
Yep. All right, and we're going to see it more, right?
Maybe today.
Maybe today. See it a sixth time. We had we only did 1 day for this poll. We didn't do a week for this poll because, honestly, I forgot to set it to a week. And so, but we got 60 votes in 1 day, which isn't too bad for a little podcast like ours. The winner of this was 55%. The boys don't know the answer to this right now, but the winning answer was 1 to 2 times that people would see it in the. I know, crazy people, not real fans. Yep, 55%. 22% said they would see it 3 or 4 times.
Better,
a little bit better, and 23% are the diehard true Star Wars fans like us that will see it 5 or more times.
Smart.
Yeah.
Right. And I understand that movies are expensive nowadays.
Yeah.
So we're fortunate because of the MoviePass situation that we've got where basically, not sponsored by MoviePass, don't ask me if I have an opinion about their customer service. But when you get the MoviePass working right, it's great because you can go to a movie every single day. And well, not for free, for $10, you know, a few dollars a month. So anyway, that was our poll for the day. So that's where we're at with that. So let's get into our first topic. Nathan, what's our first topic going to be about?
First topic's going to be about Rey's character arc in The Last Jedi and how it's portrayed and the vision from her point of view.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. Sam, what do you think about Rey and what she goes through in this? Is it what you expected? Let's kind of walk through Rey's story. We went way long last week on Luke's story, but it's Luke Skywalker, so you can't really stop.
Right.
Rey didn't have as
much.
I mean, she was obviously a major part of this movie.
She has to be.
But what'd you think about her story in this movie, Sam?
It was almost secondary, but that could just be because, as fans, the way we're watching the movie, we're watching the movie for Luke. You know, that side of things. So we're not paying as much attention to Rey as we would be Luke. Because we saw plenty of Rey in The Force Awakens.
2 years ago.
We saw like 5 seconds of Luke.
Oh, so man.
We were really trying to pay attention to Luke.
So how does Rey's story start in The Last Jedi?
It starts with her handing Luke the lightsaber. He just throws it over his shoulder. And then Porgs find it, which actually the lightsaber was going to ignite to that Porg's face, but they thought
that was concept.
That might be a little bit too intense for a little shoulder. Like their first experience with Porgs is seeing a lightsaber go through the eyeball of one.
Well, because you see the Porg.
I know. One Porg is dancing on the switch and the other one's staring into the cylinder there. We're not talking about Porgs.
That's next week's topic.
Oh, is that next week? We're talking about the Porgs character arc? Okay. All right. So anyway, what do you think that was like for Rey to see there? I mean, she's because we in The Force Awakens when What? Spit on you. Sorry, I didn't mean to spit on you. Say it. Don't spray it.
Sneezing, coughing,
hey,
spitting.
Just a bunch of guys around this table right here. So, you know, Ray's talking about Luke as I thought he was a myth.
Right.
I thought, you know, the whole idea of the legend, we talked about this last week. The legend of Luke Skywalker is massive at this point in the Star Wars story.
Yeah, everyone knows who Luke is.
Right, and they have crazy ideas about him. And so now Rey's standing there at the cliff in Ahch-To, and she's handing the lightsaber to Luke.
She knows is a... She's like, I thought he was a myth.
Yeah. Nathan, what do you think that felt like when she saw Luke chuck it over his shoulder?
I think she was a little bit confused. I've been waiting for this, because I've heard you just myth. And I thought I was just going to be a junker. But then I'm handing you a lightsaber, and you just chuck it over your shoulder. Like, why?
Yeah, I feel and like her reaction was a lot like every fan's reaction.
Yeah. So. I mean, that's a really good point that you make there, Sam.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had asked a question on Twitter about what people thought was the most compelling part of Rey's story. And we got an answer from one person on here.
So shout out to @PortHavenForums for the tweet that said that I love that we, the audience, were Rey trying to understand the dissonance between Luke and the legend, which I totally agree with, because that's all the movie is about. I do agree that Rey does have a secondary story, but it kind of is more about the whole Resistance fight.
Her story is about the Resistance fight? Okay. That's an interesting perspective.
That's how it started. Yeah. You know, she was like, I'm from the Resistance, Resistance Leia.
But then she turns into...
And then it turns into her learning about the Force.
Yeah, but she's there. She's standing there. She's thought for years now. She's heard the legend of Luke Skywalker.
Right.
And now the Force has awakened in her.
Right.
Right?
She's afraid.
And she's not sure what to do with this. She just had this, you know, we don't know how long the time period really is between the battle on Starkiller Base with Kylo Ren and the time she gets to Ahch-To. It could be days. It could be weeks. We don't know how long it takes for her to get to Ahch-To.
Right.
Okay. And I think that people are missing that in the storyline. They think that it's like minutes. But it's most likely hours or days at least. It could be weeks between that. And she gets there and she's thinking she's going up to this legend. She's going up to Luke Skywalker. Everything that she spent all this time building up in her head. And he's going to teach her about how to be a Jedi. And that's exactly right. Explain what you mean by that, Sam.
Well, I mean, we've waited 2 years for this moment. Like, much like Rey has waited days, months, whatever. Weeks, but and we're expecting, and we know Luke to be this huge legend, this amazing Jedi, right? You know, a legend, right? Because that's how we built him up, much like Rey,
right?
And then we get up there, we're expecting him to do something awesome. Yeah. We're like Rey, we're just like in awe of Luke, and then he chucks it over his shoulder, and we're all just completely confused, much like Rey.
Yeah, and so. You know what, Port Haven Forums on Twitter, Port Haven Forums. They've also got a great YouTube channel. Yeah. We subscribe to them. They subscribe to us.
Yes.
They're awesome content. What they're saying is that as the viewer of The Last Jedi, the audience of The Last Jedi, we're really seeing the story through Rey's eyes.
Yes.
So we're anticipating Rey, or we're anticipating Luke being the great Jedi that we've built up in our minds for the last 30 years. And Rey's going to be trained by Luke, and he's going to come back and grab a laser sword and go out and fight the First Order on his own. And this is what we're anticipating.
Right.
And at the very beginning of this, he's throwing the lightsaber over his shoulder. And everything that happens on Ahch-To is very contrary to what Rey anticipates is going to happen on Ahch-To.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, I think that they're right that, you know, that we need to view the story the way that Rey does. Does Rey leave Ahch-To and Luke Skywalker, his story, that portion of her story, does she leave that satisfied with the way Luke handles himself?
Oh, I don't think so.
I'm not sure. She leaves Ahch-To not satisfied.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So when she gets on the Millennium Falcon and leaves Ahch-To, is this, you know, what she's expecting to have happening on this.
Not really. I think she's expecting him to be nice and train her.
But and she was wanting Luke to come back and help Ben.
Which we were too.
Yeah.
We're anticipating, as the audience, we're anticipating Luke getting on the Millennium Falcon, going and taking on Snoke. That was like the big deal that we all anticipated.
Oh, I totally forgot about everything when I went to the first movie. I totally forgot about all the fan theories about Leia fighting Snoke. Like, really, I just thought...
Well, I mean, and we discussed this, but Rian Johnson didn't go the path that any of us thought, so...
Right, and that's
the... It's like from the first minute when Luke threw the lightsaber over his shoulder, he's saying, forget all your fan theories, we're just going to go with the movie. All
right. So that's the Luke theory, or the Luke element of it.
Yeah.
And that's really where her connection to Luke ends in this. We don't see them interact anymore in the rest of the movie, do we?
Well,
They had that connection when
Luke have him on the, we have them on too, Nathan, and you're right, the forestry and stuff like that. But she's asking for help from Luke. She's asking for him to come back with her. She's asking for him to train her. And while he's giving her training, the training that he's giving her is the Jedi have to end. The Jedi are corrupt, not corrupt, but the Jedi are arrogant. Right. All of these things are going on. We don't even get lesson 3.
No.
We checked that last week when we watched it. No lesson 3. Well, last night. There is no lesson 3. So that's that portion of it. But then we have this whole other storyline with Rey. And that's we talked a little bit about it last week, but the Kylo Ren element and these force connections. Nathan, what did you think was going to happen as we were on Octu and she was having these force connections with Kylo Ren, and they seem to be getting closer and closer while they're on Act 2. What did you think was going to happen in that storyline?
I thought Reylo. I didn't want Reylo. Because that's what Rian Johnson wanted you to think.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't really care where Rian Johnson went with it from there, because all the beginning of it was amazing. And I'm like, if he can make the first parts of this good and... like, it made me very, very happy to watch the first part. But I was thinking, if he can make that happen, then I'm pretty sure if he does go with Reylo, he can make that happen.
Okay. So she leaves Octu. Sam, what did you think about the Force connections before we talk about her leaving?
Well, I'm not going to talk about the Reylo aspect because we talked plenty about that last week. I was more just, like, trying to figure out how this worked. Like... because we'd never seen anything like it. I mean, we had seen little things between, like, Leia and Luke, you know, with their connection. But that was just, like, a force connection, similar to the end of The Last Jedi or whatever. But this was something different. So I was trying to understand it. We see a few times, like, one time when the force connection... ends or whatever, Kylo, he wipes his face, and there's water.
There's a physical transference that goes on in this.
They're touching hands or whatever.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's so weird. We'll come back to that maybe in a little bit. But then she leaves because she's going to save Ben.
Right.
She thinks Luke is a lost cause. She's given up on Luke. Mm-hmm. Which is sort of the way that fans were at this point in the story. What's up with Luke?
Right.
Everything that we think about Luke is wrong. She gets on the Millennium Falcon. She goes back to Snoke's destroyer, Superstar Destroyer, whatever it is, that big giant 30-kilometer thing that's in space. And she then gets on an escape pod and goes back in there with Kylo.
Right.
With Kylo Ren. Sam, talk about that moment where she's on the elevator. Going up and what that reminds you of and that whole sequence.
Well, it's a lot like Vader talking to Luke.
And Luke talking to Vader on in the same scenario.
Like, you know, they're both saying that you will turn in front of Snoke or whatever. Very, very similar. Lots of parallels. Like Luke was in handcuffs, Kylo.
Yeah.
Rey was in handcuffs, so Kylo had Rey's lightsaber, vice versa. You know, all that. It was very... very, very similar.
So they're there. She's,
lots of parallels.
Lots of parallels. There are some very similar parallels to the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy, which we're going to talk about in just a second. But we got to tie the loose ends up on this. I know it was a good segue, but it was a little premature. So we're standing there in Snoke's throne room, and you know if you're listening to this podcast by now, you know that we didn't even do a spoiler alert because at this point
it's been out
for 3 weekends. See the movie, and if not, you're not a real fan, so why are you listening to a Star Wars podcast?
Right.
At this point. But there, you know, we know what happens. Kylo Ren kills Snoke using a trick that with the lightsaber. The Praetorian guards go crazy. Kylo and Rey, they take him on, which is one of the best battles. Really in all of Star Wars history. That was awesome. Yeah. It was an awesome scene. When she gets tied up with that one Praetorian guard and then drops the lightsaber to let herself get free, grabs it and kills him, and then chucks the lightsaber to Kylo, and he ignites it through the guy's head.
Turns it on and off.
Yeah. We've seen it 5 times. I just sit back every time in the movie, and at this point, I listen to the crowd reactions in those scenes, and everybody reacts, if they haven't seen the movie, like, whoa, right. When that happens.
So, I like to listen to the a bit off topic, but I like to listen to the reactions when Haldo goes through the ship.
When he goes the dead silent time?
You can hear everyone like,
whoa. It's awesome. But anyway, so they're standing there, so it's all done. Okay, the Praetorian guards are all dead. Snoke is dead.
In a few pieces.
Yeah.
Wait. You never know.
Well, you never know in Star Wars. But anyway. Well, you thought Darth Maul was dead,
no,
too.
No, but we saw Snoke was landing.
Okay, we got to keep going. So they're standing there, and we're dealing with this moment where, as fans, if you're looking at the story through Rey's eyes, what do you think's about to happen?
Ben's about to turn.
Kylo's about to turn back to the light.
Right.
To become
Ben
again.
And if this were episode 6, that would happen.
Right. But does this happen in this?
No.
What ends up happening?
He goes full dark side acts like he's a good guy.
It's a beautiful connection between episode 6 and episode 3. You have Rey being Luke at the end of episode 6, trying to redeem
his father,
in this case,
Kylo.
Ben. Mm-hmm. And you have Kylo being Anakin with Padme at the end of episode 3, join me, together we'll rule the galaxy, and Rey's saying things like, don't do this, which is exactly what Padme says. It's very bizarre. So, and that's kind of where Rey's story ends.
Yeah.
She gets on the Falcon, she goes back, I don't even know how she gets back to the Falcon.
Chewie probably came to pick her up.
We don't have any explanation of this.
The craft that Rose and Finn took, the Snoke's escape craft?
No, she wasn't on that.
No.
Oh, she took Snoke. That's right. She took Snoke's escape craft. That's what Kylo says. You're right, Nate.
That's what
Kylo says to Hux. Or Hux says to Kylo. And then I guess she goes and finds Chewie.
Yeah.
And then the next time we see her, she's flying the Millennium Falcon at Crate and taking out some TIE fighters and helping and then lifting some rocks. And that's basically her story.
Yeah, and then she senses Luke pass.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that was left kind of hanging with Rey.
Well, now that I'm thinking of it, we did see when Luke was saying that the rebellion is reborn today, the war has just begun,
and I will not be
last Jedi.
Right.
We know that that's Rey because it zooms in on her. And then the other thing that we need to talk about, we're going to talk about Rey, and we'll tie up, and we have to move on. Is do you think that what Kylo says about Rey's parentage is true?
Yes.
It would make sense.
I thought about this. He could be lying, but if you think about it, remember, Rey said it first. She said they were nobody. And then Kylo provided the specifics. So I think that that's where they're going with it. So that way, it gives JJ a clean slate to do whatever he wants, minus the parentage part.
Well, parentage is still a clean slate. He could say that Kylo was lying.
No, because Rey said it. Rey and
Rey doesn't know who our parents are.
I'm going to go back and I'm going to say there's one of two paths that they could go down if JJ Abrams wants to. Okay? The one is Ray's parents are drunks that sold her for drinking money, and they're dead in a pauper's grave in a junker desert.
Right.
Like Ray or Kylo says.
Yeah.
But Ray says, my parents were nobody.
Right.
Folks, when somebody says your parents are nobody in the Star Wars universe, it can mean something very different, because this entire Star Wars saga is built around someone whose father was nobody.
Not following.
Not following? You following?
Luke's father was someone.
Who was Luke's father?
Anakin.
Who was his father?
No one.
Nobody.
He didn't have a
father. Oh my gosh. Are we going to have a midichlorians thing from JJ?
Let's not go back.
Oh, he said.
Is he a clone?
He said episode 9 is going to bring in and tie in the entire prequel trilogy and original trilogy into this. Are we going midichlorians? I sure hope not, but. That's what I was watching it last
time. Everyone wants to just forget midichlorians in general.
All right, we got to move on. Let's talk about the next topic there. Who's introducing this one? Yeah. I am.
Oh.
All right, so we've mentioned this a couple of times in the previous segment, but there is a lot of parallels between the way things change, well, between the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy. But I want to talk about one specific type of parallel that exists. And that is how much the movies, the entire Star Wars universe changed between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back and between The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. Now, if you're thinking about it, if you end A New Hope without having seen, if you've never seen Empire, you've never seen the prequels, you don't know who the Emperor is, you don't know who Vader is, you end A New Hope, the first Star Wars movie, with the love story being Luke and Leia.
Right.
Obi-Wan Kenobi is dead. Darth Vader is the greatest criminal villain in the galaxy.
Yep.
You barely even hear about the Emperor.
Yeah.
He's mentioned like in one sentence by Tarkin, right? You have the good guys won in spite of all of the odds.
Right.
And it's a good, big, feel-good story.
Right.
That's the way you end A New Hope. And then you go forward from 1977 to 1980, and The Empire Strikes Back comes out. Mm-hmm. And folks, we forget, because we know what happens in Empire, and we know what happens in Return of the Jedi, and the prequels, and the stories, the expanded universe, everything else. We forget how much everything changed between A New Hope and The Last Jedi. Because at the end A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. At the end of Empire Strikes Back, the love story is no longer Luke and Leia.
It's Han
and Leia. Obi-Wan Kenobi is a Force ghost. We had never heard of anything like that before.
Right.
And he's maybe a flippin' liar. Yeah. Because he told Luke that Darth Vader killed Anakin. And now Darth Vader is saying he's Luke's father. So who's telling the truth? The bad guys are dominating this movie. They win the whole every battle in the movie. Everybody is in disaster. Han Solo is frozen in carbonite, might be dead. Everything is a complete disaster at the end of Empire Strikes Back. That's exactly what goes on between episodes 4 and 5. Do you understand where I'm coming from on that?
Yeah,
I do.
So one of the things that people have been complaining a lot about, which we'll talk about in our next segment, when it comes to the reaction to The Last Jedi, is that it doesn't seem to make sense. Everything that we thought was true at the end of Force Awakens is different now that we've seen The Last Jedi. What are some of those types of differences that have taken place in this? Let's start with just like something as simple as Luke Skywalker.
Well, he's an old hermit in The Force Awakens. And then he turns into this weird Yoda type of guy. It's very...
Well, I mean, he's a hermit, but what are we expecting from Luke Skywalker at the end of Force Awakens?
To train Rey and Master Jedi.
And who is he when we watch The Last Jedi? At least up until the very end. Before the very end, I mean, you know.
Before
we get to Crane.
Grumpy old man.
Yeah. Really.
And sort of unhinged.
Yeah.
In some ways. You know, the whole milk
thing
and, You know, even the goofy thing with the fern when Rey's, you know, he's giving the first lesson, he slapped her. That's very Yoda-esque.
Like, yes, what you were saying. Yeah, that's true.
What are some of the other differences between The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi? Sam?
I could probably think of them right. I'm not.
Well, let's think about, at the end of The Force Awakens, the Resistance has just taken out Starkiller Base.
Oh, yeah.
Right, the Death Star is destroyed at this point, right? So, I mean, what's the way that it is at the end of The Last Jedi?
Well, the Resistance fits on the Falcon.
Yeah, like 20 people. There's nothing left.
Yeah.
Of it. Another parallel, you know, the Force Awakens. We leave that thinking that everything is about the Skywalkers, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We're speculating Rey's a Skywalker or. You know, at least it's got to do with your family lineage as far as the bloodline matters for the Force, the abilities, right? That's the way we walk away with it. How did we end The Last Jedi?
That you don't have to be a Skywalker to know the Force. That everything has the Force.
And it can still be about the Skywalkers, but it's a bit more separated because you have Kylo being sort of from the Skywalker bloodline.
Right.
So, I mean, it's still sort of about the Skywalkers a little bit. But
it's
less.
It's not about you have to be a Skywalker to be a main character in this story.
Right. That's right? Basically.
What are some of the other. I mean, Leia's just a great general.
Yeah.
At the end of Force Awakens. And who is she at the end of The Last Jedi? When it comes to the Force?
A user.
She's like, she just flew through space.
Right.
Using the Force. Everything we thought we knew about Leia changed. Everything we thought we knew about the Resistance changed. Everything we thought about Rey changed. Mm-hmm. Everything we thought about Snoke changed. Snoke was the big bad guy in the Force Awakens that we were so highly anticipating what we would learn about him. And basically we learned it doesn't matter who Snoke is. Mm-hmm. He's dead.
More at least.
The bad guy isn't Snoke. It's Kylo. On that. I mean, everything changed. And I think that that's important for us to remember as we think about the fan reaction. Because the fans... Going back to The Empire Strikes Back, we have to remember in 1980, people were flipping out about The Empire Strikes Back. They weren't happy with it. It got very critical reviews. Fans were writing in letters to Starlog magazine and other things complaining about this movie, about Empire. And now as time goes on and you have a chance to watch it multiple times and you get a chance to appreciate the story and allow your mind to absorb the changes, Empire Strikes Back has become... what everyone pretty much considers to be the best of all of the original trilogy movies, and probably up until some people think, even through The Last Jedi, the best of all the Star Wars movies, okay? I think the same thing's going to happen with The Last Jedi. This. And I want to just real quick give a shout out to Bradley W. Hall, at Bradley W. Hall on Twitter, because he's a great fan of ours. He's been tweeting back, and we interact with him a lot. We had this conversation going back and forth on Twitter, and he asked us to talk about this on the podcast today. And so we wanted to make sure that we did that because we think it was a great idea to do that. So thanks, Bradley, for doing this. If you're not following Bradley on Twitter, make sure you do that. At Bradley W. Hall on that. So, all right, let's go ahead and talk about it.
There's one more parallel.
What's that?
And that was in this movie, and I've said this before, we learned and saw things about the Force that we had never seen before. And that same thing happened in Empire. We had the same discussion while we were waiting for our McDonald's last night.
Uh-huh.
We were talking. I asked him the question. I was sitting there and I'm like, I don't remember the Force being used to lift or move anything at all in Episode 4.
You're right.
And it wasn't. We both can't think of any time where that happens. The Force was just, I mean, it was used to control people's minds, and it was this weird ambient
And to
force.
Use a lightsaber, and to aim proton torpedoes into the Death Star.
But nothing, and so the first time we see something move with the Force is in Empire Strikes Back, when Luke is hanging upside down in the Wampa cave.
Yeah!
And he reaches out for the lightsaber, and it jumps into his hand. Now, Nathan and I, and Dad, now that's second nature to us. The Force is used to move stuff all the time. That's what you think of, right? That's what Rey thinks of. And she's like us,
right?
It's used to control people's minds and
move and stuff. Move and lift rocks, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But back then, you'd never seen anything like that.
Right.
The Force can move stuff now, so it's very similar to what we see in The Last Jedi, in that the Force is doing things that we haven't seen before, like fly through space.
Yeah, fly through space, force connections the way that Rey and Kylo have, projections like we see with Luke. What are some of the other differences in the force between A New Hope? Can you think of any?
The Force Phantom?
Well, no, A New Hope and Empire is what I meant.
Oh.
I mean, it's used to move stuff.
I mean,
we see the Force Ghost.
Yeah, we see a Force Ghost for the first time in Empire Strikes Back.
I mean, this is still moving stuff, but like, Yoda moved an entire X-Wing.
That little short green Muppet lifted an X-Wing. Everything changed in Star Wars. What we thought about Star Wars never was the same again after Empire Strikes Back. And that's exactly the way it's going to be with The Last Jedi. And frankly, some people just don't like it. So that goes to the next topic.
So yeah, we're just gonna talk about why this movie is so polarizing. Why some people absolutely love it, like us, or some people just absolutely hate it and despise it and are like, why did Rian Johnson go this way? So I just want to quickly shout out to Neil Lowry. You can follow him on Twitter?
Yep, Lowry.
At Lowry Neil. Yep. We're just thanking him because he's just a super fan. Right?
Yeah, I mean, he's so awesome. Yesterday, you tweeted out your list of 2017 Star Wars podcasts that you were giving 5 stars to. And these are some of the bigger names in Star Wars podcasts, or some of the ones that we've listened to for a while, or at least I have because I'm a podcast nerd. I listen to them all the time. But, you know, he listed us as one on that. And thank you so much, Neil. We appreciate that. He's part of Fanthatrax, by the way, which Fanthatrax is another new podcast that's actually blowing up right now. They're just a phenomenal podcast that's just doing some amazing things. And you guys are awesome. Fanthatrax, we love you guys as well. And Neil, thank you so much for your support and your encouragement. And you're a super fan, but you're a super fan that loves The Last Jedi.
Right.
There are a lot of super fans out there. We know some of them personally from church and other places that absolutely hate The Last Jedi. And it's like a visceral, angry reaction to it. Nathan, why do you think so many people have a hard time with The Last Jedi?
Because they have their own thoughts about it and they want it to be like that.
Right. We discussed this on a previous podcast. But they were going in with their own expectation and what they wanted. They wanted Rey to be a Skywalker. They wanted Snoke to be the Plagueis or whatever. And then that didn't happen, and they got upset. That's basically, well, that's what I think it was. That's why people are saying, like our friend from church is saying, it was disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
So. That makes sense for people to be like that. I don't know why I surrendered. It was just crazy. Everything that was going on didn't make sense for a little bit, but I just kind of thought about it. And when I did, I just let it go.
Well, we didn't spoil this movie, okay? We didn't go into it with a bunch of spoilers, having read a lot of the theories and a lot of the things. I mean, we knew some of the theories, but not spoils for sure.
Yeah.
But we did... You know, after the premiere, the red carpet premiere in L.A. and getting to the actual opening night that Thursday night, that 4 or 5 days, I read a lot of the critical reviews, some from, you know, media people, but then from podcasters and other real big Star Wars fans. And I was prepared for things to not go the way that we thought, which is what Rian Johnson was telling us through Luke Skywalker in the previews and the trailers and things. This isn't going to go the way that you think it will go. Everybody that I had talked to or that I had read online or seen videos of or whatever said, please don't go into this movie with expectations. Because if you go into this movie expecting things to go the way that you think that they're going to go, you're going to be disappointed. They're not going to go that way.
Right.
And I saw people that went into it like that were really ticked off and didn't like this movie. So we talked about that even the day of the movie when we first saw it. Don't expect anything. Even Rian Johnson said none of the theories that are out there are going to hold up.
It's like Luke said, this isn't going to go the way you think.
Right. And I think that's what the problem is. And then there's this small group. I don't think that it's as big as it seems like it is based on social media and stuff, but there's a small group that are just really, really angry that their headcanon didn't play out on screen.
Right.
And I think they've forgotten the fact that they don't get to write the Star Wars story. They're not Rian Johnson and Lucasfilm and Disney. They don't get to pick what happens to Luke Skywalker and Rey. And it's not like it's a choose-your-own-adventure book where we get to say this is how we want it to go, and then if it doesn't go that way, we can be upset. Because Rian Johnson was the one that was picked to write this movie, right. And I think he did a phenomenal job. And most of the fan base and the movie-going world feels the same way. This was from a quote from an article in Forbes, and I'll put this in the show notes, so if you're watching or listening to this, you can go to the show notes and link to it. It was an article in Forbes magazine where he's talking about this really vitriolic reaction by the fan base by a small portion of the fan base against The Last Jedi, and this idea that this movie is a failure. It's not making the money that needs to, people aren't going to see it, that people don't like it. And this is what he says: regardless of anyone's personal opinion about the movie, it won't change the facts. The Last Jedi had the second largest domestic opening in history and is doing huge box office numbers. It will wind up as the second highest grossing film of the entire series, not to mention becoming one of the all-time 10 highest grossing movies at the worldwide box office. It enjoys some of the best reviews in the franchise's long history and a terrific grade from the audiences. And I will insert, except for the bots that got a hold of Rotten Tomatoes. Right. If you go to everything outside of Rotten Tomatoes, fan reaction to this is still off the charts.
Yeah.
With this. And then to continue, and any effort to argue this adds up to failure or disappointment, or that any actual large backlash exists, is pure fiction. Folks, this movie is a huge success. Critics love it. Fans love it. They're going to continue to go to it. It's going to clear $1 billion, I think, this weekend. And we're going to be able to move forward from that. So
I saw another quote on Facebook, and I'm paraphrasing here. I don't remember exactly what it said. But it said something along the lines of, listen up, fans who want to petition to remove The Last Jedi from canon. By removing this movie from canon, you are thereby removing Carrie Fisher's last performance from canon.
It's crazy. You know, these people that are freaking out about this are not... I mean, I get, if you don't like the movie, that's fine. I don't care if you don't like the movie. You have the right to not like the movie. It's these people that are petitioning it to be removed from canon, or saying they're never going to a Star Wars movie again, or this is the worst piece of junk ever, or making up, you know, creating bots to bring down the Rotten Tomatoes scores. Right. It's this selfish. Is an it is ridiculous. Okay,
and Rian Johnson spent 2 years
longer than that.
Right. Longer than that.
Hundreds of people working on this movie. The hundreds of
people. And they spent their hard time, their weekends, trying.
Money, lots.
Yeah,
all to make a good movie.
Trying to make this movie, and you're just being like, it sucks. It stinks.
Well, that's okay. You don't have to like the movie. People don't have to like the movie.
But it's the.
It's this overreaction to it. Yeah. This idea that anybody that disagrees with those people that don't like this movie are idiots and don't understand Star Wars is just not real. Because the reality is the overwhelming majority of Star Wars fans and non-Star Wars fans that have seen this movie think this is an amazing film. They love what it does. And I think we're going to see in the next movie and in Rian Johnson's trilogy that he comes out with and stuff, we're going to see a whole new Star Wars universe that people are going to fall in love with. Yeah. So, all right, let's keep going.
Anything else?
So is there anything else you guys want to talk about today that we didn't get to?
I wanted to talk about the dark figures.
Who?
Snoke's throne room. The really tall, dark, weird figures.
The guys in the Snoke's throne room. Both scenes.
They got like glowing blue eyes.
They're like wearing these black cloak hoods. They got blue eyes. Jawas. And you barely see them. And they're there in the first scene of Snoke's. And they're there when Rey enters with Kylo. And then they're gone. Who are these dudes? We asked Pablo Hidalgo, but nobody's answered us yet. They just keep telling us to buy the visual dictionary. I just want somebody to answer this question. Who are the hooded guys in Snoke's?
Just go to Barnes & Noble. We'll just look at it.
Yeah. Right. Just go in there to open it up and look at it.
Thanks, guys.
We've spent enough on Star Wars stuff in the last few weeks. So. Anything you wanted to talk about you didn't get a chance to?
There was a special picture that was released on Twitter.
What was that?
The Han Solo movie.
Oh, Yeah, say what.
It said something about a favorite Mandalorian might be showing up.
Yeah, and you see a silhouette of Boba Fett's helmet. Ooh, Boba Fett in solar. Would you guys be okay with that?
No.
Oh,
man. Wait, that's not what I wanted to talk about. Anyway.
Well, that's what we ended up talking about. What was the other thing?
John Williams writing a Han Solo theme.
Finally. Come on, Han Solo finally gets his own song. About time. I would have loved to have had time to talk about, maybe we should take time to do it. I don't want to go too long. But what I think would be the ultimate way to honor Carrie Fisher going into episode 9.
Just do it. We got
just
time.
Do it.
We didn't take an hour.
So last night we were in there and we're watching and, you know, Lucasfilm's logo comes up on the screen and you get those chills that go up your back every time you see it. And then you see the blue a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And then what happens every Star Wars saga movie when that happens?
That big stars.
Yeah, Star Wars yellow Star Wars logo and the Star Wars theme blasts out, right? And just kind of rips you up out of your seat.
Yeah.
I think this is the way that J.J. Abrams and Lucasfilm and Disney should open episode 9 as the ultimate way to honor Carrie Fisher. Lucasfilm logo comes up on the screen.
Right.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away in the blue. And then the yellow Star Wars logo comes up in total silence.
Right.
It says episode 9, whatever the name of episode 9 is. That's the working title.
Yeah.
That's not the name. And then it starts scrolling up. And I've said this before. My prediction is the first sentence of the crawl should be General Leia Organa is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Then that is different, except for the fact that I don't want the Star Wars theme to play at the beginning. As the crawl starts to creep up the screen, I want the opening to be Leia's theme.
Yeah.
I think that would be – the whole place would start crying. I think it would be the best way to honor Carrie Fisher. What do you guys think about that?
I totally agree.
All right, J.J. Abrams, if you're listening, I gave you money right there, baby.
We know you're listening.
All right, this is it. And if you're listening on this podcast, man, share the love. Tell everybody you know about this idea. Let's get maybe we can get our own fan petition out there. Maybe not.
Always work.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about on that. Let's see. What do we have next? I guess it's we're going to need to talk about what our poll would be for next week. I'm not sure which is more annoying, the new pork sound or the new tauntaun sound. Don't press it. Don't press it. Okay. All right. So here's our poll for next week. What will be the final box office take of The Last Jedi? Will it be $1 billion, $1.25 billion, $1.4 billion, or more? So we'll have that up on Twitter for the next, hopefully if I remember, week. And we'll get that out there. All right, guys. Listen, if you're listening to this on iTunes, on Spreaker, on Google Play, on SoundCloud, on iHeartRadio, on anything else,
all
if, YouTube, on that, what we ask
Facebook.
You to do is, yeah, Facebook Live, hi guys. If you're listening to this, what we ask you to do is please know that we live off of your feedback. We want to make this show the way you guys want to make this show. We want to make it fun. We want to make it entertaining to you guys. And so what we're asking for you to do is please go to iTunes or Google Play or wherever it is that you subscribe to podcasts. Take a second to subscribe to this podcast. Take a second to rate us. Give us 5 stars, please, with that. And then give us a review on your podcast service so that we can get the word out there. More people will find this if you're rating and reviewing this and subscribing to it. If you're on Twitter, follow us on @TatooineSons. If you're on YouTube, same thing. Search for Tatooine Sons, S-O-N-S, by the way. And you can subscribe to us on YouTube and view us this way as well. We want to make this the best that it can be. Thank you guys so much for your support. This has been a lot of fun getting this podcast up and running. We're so excited about how many of you are listening and sharing this. We do this because we love to talk Star Wars, and we're so excited that you love to listen to us talk about Star Wars. So on that note, anything else you want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you. Thanks, guys.
Are you brainless?
I never ask that question till after I've done it.
We're smarter than this.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent. Yep, yep.